Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests.
But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, Survivor fans, to the Survivor Blood vs. Water Roundtable Show hosted by Michael Cowboy Ellis from Big Brother Season 5 and co-hosted by myself, Cherry Garcia, and Paul from Minnesota. Today is November 7th, 2013, and as we always like to say, if today is your birthday, anniversary, or any special day, we hope it was a real special one for you from all of us here at the Rad Reality Show Network. I know that today is Natalie's birthday from Big Brother Season 9, so I want to give a big shout-out to her. She is one of the sweetest, most talented, and inspirational women ever, and I basically just adore her, so a big shout-out to her. She's also a new mommy with a gorgeous little baby boy, and I just wanted to give a big shout-out to Natalie from Season 9 of Big Brother. Now we'll go up and check with Paul from Minnesota. Paul, is it snowing up there in Minnesota yet?
Oh, dear. I thought you didn't want me ever. Every time I mention the S word, you start going la 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 la. You don't want to hear about it. We did get some snow, measurable snow, a couple days ago. It is trying to slowly melt. You can see mostly grass, but we'll get another couple days of our 40 degree high, and it'll be gone. But I wanted to comment. I'm so glad that you mentioned Natalie's birthday. But I didn't want to have to mention it because I have a hell of a time pronouncing your last name, don't I?
Cuneo.
Thank you.
She's so beautiful.
I also, and this might happen after we bring our wonderful host up, but I just saw an alert of an article about Survivor's Chase Rice. And I would like to read that. It's kind of cool news. It's from the local Tennessean newspaper in Tennessee, and it's really cool that I learned about 20 minutes before the show came on. So
I love me some Chase Rice, so I can't wait to hear this. So let's play Cowboys song and bring him up.
At Kitty's place. I should have been
a cowboy.
I should have learned to rope and ride.
boy. It's good to have true fans out there. I really love doing it for the fans. Oh, I should have been a cowboy.
Welcome, cowboy. How are you?
Doing great, doing great. I'm trying to fix my computer a little bit. It's kind of acting up just like a woman does, but no comments there. But doing great
to
not...
Sorry, I'm a little bit...
No, you're fine. I'm a little bit feisty tonight. I feel great. Went back to work yesterday for the first time in 3 weeks, and doing really good. I can't complain. And, you know, matter of fact, real quick, last week I felt so good at the last minute. Talked with good friend Dan from Vegas, and I was visiting with him on Friday. I was kind of joking around saying, hey, I'm thinking about coming to see you this weekend. And he thought I was joking at first. And I booked my flight Friday night and flew to Vegas last Saturday and got to spend some time with Dan. It's always a pleasure. And then we drove to L.A. We did the L.A. drive again, and we ended up going to Disneyland, his favorite place in the world, where dreams come true, just kind of like my house. I make dreams come true, too. Just ask my kids. They get whatever they want. And, you know, it was just a good experience because I've never been to Disney. And so to get to witness that for the first time with our good friend Dan, because if you don't know, he is a Disney freak. And, you know,
yes, he is.
I knew that he liked Tinkerbell, but geez Louise, he was hitting on her like no other. I mean, what's new? Any woman, he's hitting on them. But, you know, it was a lot of fun, and we're planning a trip where it's a secret, but we'll take the kids next summer. So
I'm looking
forward to that. And, of course, Dan's already helping plan it. And, of course, you know, it's, you know, Dan has an amazing heart. And, you know, it's a little bit different when he can see kids, you know, see the twinkle in their eyes. And so we're looking forward to that. So, and then the next day, we got to sit in the audience of the talk, and which after it was all said and done, Julie Chan actually came up to me, guys. It was the greatest feeling I've ever felt. Besides having my kids. But, you know, she came up. She asked how the kids was doing. She asked how Nokomis was doing. She just asked general questions. And I just – what was so weird is I was caught up in the moment because there was a big security guard right where we were at, and the ladies go right where we were sitting, which was probably the reason why we were there. But the thing is, he looked over at Gene and Dan and myself, and if y'all know Gene from the Glass House, we're sitting there, and the big guy, he goes, "Don't touch the ladies. They're going to be coming by." And so we go, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Well, when Julie Chan actually came up and started talking to me, the bodyguard was literally watching everything that I was doing. And I was like, you know, what do I do? You know, because I'd like to, you know, give her a hug. Well, she literally came up to me and gave me a hug.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like
a Julie
incredible
hug, huh?
Feeling. It was. And, you know, it was just, I've got to say, I think it meant so much because I wonder how many hosts actually remembers, you know, every one of their cast members. And I'm not saying she does, but it's just, it's an honor that she remembers who I am. I mean, obviously I've got to see her 3 times, but, you know, it was a great feeling just to, you know, get a hug and everybody in the audience is just looking at us. And even Dan was like,
did you hear her asking for you? Because she knew I was in the audience. And I said, no. And he goes, yeah, she was asking where Michael is. And so it was just really a great experience. And just so everybody knows that November the 6th episode, yesterday's episode of the talk, you can actually see a glimpse of Gene and myself for a quick second. It may not even be a second, but
wait a minute. Wait a minute, Paul. I'm sorry. I thought when you told me that it was November 6th, I didn't connect. Yesterday, I thought it was a week ago.
Well, we did the live show, but they did some pre-recording for yesterday's show, and we actually got on air a little bit on yesterday's show.
Oh, I don't have – I told you I had that. I don't have it. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Right. That's okay. Mom looked it up on her iPad, and she said she should be getting that episode in the next couple of days. So I know there's going to be internet access to that, guys, so you'll be able to get that. I don't know if it's up now or not, but y'all would be able to go on the internet to, I think, CBS's site and rewatch that episode.
Okay, so let me just clarify with you, Cowboy. Who were the special guests on the show that you were at?
We had the gentleman from OMG. Not good with names, but the guy that does OMG. We had the new actor that is in The Crazy Ones with Robin Williams.
Right, and Rachel Bilson, who was on the OC, was when I first saw her. So, yeah, I have that episode, but I didn't know that you ended up on a clip from yesterday's show. That's interesting.
So what's cool is you're going to learn a little bit behind the scenes, because we got to see things that you don't see at home, and I love stuff like this on the Rad Reality Show. So what they did was they did a clipping of the dunk tank. And so our audience was shown in that episode. So after we did the live taping, they did a special promo that you would see from yesterday. But
on yesterday's
talking,
show.
On yesterday's show. But them talking and stuff like you saw when we were there that day, we weren't part of that. That is a new audience. However, they used our audience for one of the challenges for yesterday's challenge.
That's
because
cool. I wish I would have known. I would have taped it.
Well, it's because I meant to tell everybody like I did that one. But it was crazy. I actually recorded it on my DVR, and my mother didn't realize what I'd done, and so she deleted it. I'm like, Mom, what are you thinking? But the thing is I know for the ones like Paul, Chi-Town Joe, and, you know, some of the others, you know, y'all will be able to probably get that clip now off of the internet and be able to send it to the people that don't know how to get there. But I think Mom just went to CBS and went to the talk, and you can watch the archives.
Okay.
So you can still watch in the archives.
That's so
great.
Cool. Cowboy, the first show that you were on, not the the clip from yesterday, you made a comment you were sitting in the audience, but from what I thought I captured you, it looked like you were standing near a door opening. Was that where you were?
We were by a door opening, but I guess I haven't finished it, but I didn't see that I saw me on there, because Mom thought she saw me as well.
But
my question
is, because you had the VIP passes, you know, you didn't have necessarily reserved seats, I was thinking, that you were able to, you were standing stage left is what I would describe it, off to the left side as you were facing the stage. Would that be a correct description?
Paul, stalking me, guys. You are correct. We were left of the stage. You're right.
We sure was.
Okay.
We were sitting, if you saw a mohawk, a black gentleman with a mohawk, we're sitting behind them rows of chairs on the left side of.
Another identifiable thing is I could see a beard, and it looked like a plaid shirt. Were you wearing a plaid shirt?
I was.
Yep.
Yep, I sure was. Yep, and then I have my Santa Claus Duck Dynasty look going on. So everybody, I mean, everyone's been teasing me at work. I mean, people saying I'm a mountain man and all this, and it was kind of cool to go back to work yesterday, and so many people missed me, and it's just a great feeling, and even the guests starting to see me, where you been, where you been, and really nice to get off my butt and actually go to work and, you know, do what I like to do. So I think that
speaking of somebody
gonna,
that you haven't talked to in a
yep.
while, we've got one of your friends on the switchboard.
Yeah, he stood me up. I'm mad at him. In L.A., we invited this guy to come and have lunch with us, and he goes, oh, I'm too busy for you. Let's see what his excuse is. Let's see what he is. Let's see what he says.
Yeah. Okay. This should be good. Mr. Dennis Luciani, you actually stood Cowboy and Dan up?
What propaganda is this boy spreading now? My computer's acting up here. It's acting up like an Elvis.
He said he was playing baseball and that he couldn't come and have lunch with us.
I couldn't go out at night because I had my softball games, and when I was working at whatever I was doing, I was working. Sorry.
He was playing. He was playing.
He can't
with
remember
ball.
What he can't remember what he told you that day.
Well, I tell you, what was bad is I sent out emails and text messages saying, "Hey, I'm in LA," and what I love is in the reality industry. Dennis didn't say this, but or he might have. But everyone's like, "What are you doing in LA?" You know, everyone's ears starts perking up. Why are you in L.A.? Why are you in L.A.? And
because Big Brother is supposed to be All-Stars this year. They probably were perked up.
Everybody's
I wasn't concerned about that. I knew he was visiting with Dan. I wasn't concerned about what his next project was. That's what you were getting at. I was looking for the chances to be able to chill with you.
Oh, absolutely. And, there will be another chance. And what's so cool, guys, and Paul and Cherry, you're going to really like this. The hotel that Dan and I stayed in on Sunday night was the same hotel that I was in sequester for a week and a half.
You're
in
kidding
Big
me.
Brother, in Big Brother 11. So this last sequester,
gosh.
A few seasons back, we stayed at that hotel. We drove up, and I said, Dan, this hotel looks familiar. I said, I think this was one of my sequesters. He goes, really? I said, yeah. So we get in, and I remember this walkway by the bar. And I was like, Dan, I did stay in here. And we go up to our room. I look out the window, and I see what I looked at for a week and a half in season 11. I watched three weddings happen. And memories because this was the worst sequester that I've ever was in. You know, it was so bad that it was driving me insane that I had to ask the handlers to come and play a board game with me because I needed that people contact. And it's kind of weird how, and I guess I'm just around my kids all the time and everything, so I'm around people, and I just got stir crazy, but it was just a good feeling just to be able to go back to that hotel and, just to live it up. And Dan was, that's cool, And so that's just, off of that, but I just had to throw that out there that it was, and to find out that they actually
the Biggest Loser actually uses that hotel as well that we stay at.
Wow.
And which was pretty cool. So, you know, so many reality shows uses hotels like crazy. So, you know, there's probably contracts.
Are you guys watching The Biggest Loser? Are you caught up, if you are?
I am not caught up.
I'm not either.
It's on my DVR. But I do like this season. I haven't in the past been able to keep up with it, but I really like this season.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil who went home then, because that would be a spoiler for you. So I will keep quiet. Anyway,
Wasn't it the 7-foot white chick, 7-foot white chick that got sent home this week?
Oh, Dennis. So, Dennis, are you watching this year's Survivor?
I'm the reality whore, okay? I watch it all, so I'm not
sure she's that.
For a lack of a better word, yes. I love the I'm loving the blood versus water right now, even though I hated the title because it wasn't really totally reflective of, you know, all couples, because it seemed like, you know, there was just boyfriend, girlfriend, so that wasn't blood, you know what I mean? So, but now it's like, truly, what is
picky,
left?
Picky.
Yeah. I'm loving what Tyson, because to me, it finally is like, finally, some real players that are really thinking about, like, this is what pissed me off with Big Brother season a couple of seasons ago, which when Rachel won or something like that, when people are already in, like, you know, previous players or whatever, get out the people that have already made money, that have already done stuff. Get them out of the house. So when somebody said, I can't remember if it was Monica or Laura M. or something like that, we have to get a plan to get Aris and Tina out. They're the only two that have won $1 million that are left. Get them out so somebody new can represent a winner. You know,
absolutely.
I was really happy. Even though I like Aris. Aris is a great guy, don't get me wrong. And I'm really, you know, Tyson's really playing it up as a good new villain. He is like a good, he's somebody that just makes my skin crawl sometimes with him being, you know, a total biatch with eating all the food, but he is playing a good Richard Hatch Survivor game.
You know, the thing is, you talk about winning money. You know, nothing has been said to our knowledge. No one has brought up that Hayden has won Big Brother. And
which is great.
They forget about that, or they don't really know who Hayden is. You know, I ran into somebody today that is a big Survivor watcher, and she didn't realize that Hayden played Big Brother. She didn't catch it. It would be really great to see this man win Survivor, and in reality history, you would see him make $1.5 million on reality TV, guys.
But he still won't be the best at it, because Sandra from, you know, Survivor won 2 seasons. She won, you know, won her Pearl Island season, then she won the first Heroes versus Villains, was it?
Right. Season? Yes.
Was that the season? Yeah, I can't remember. But she won, so she's right now the big winner. But yeah,
she's
the big cheese.
You know, I think
the big cheese of reality TV money would probably go to Boston Rob, who's like, you know, him and Amber have done like how many reality different shows that he's done filming him and stuff. But he's one of the ones that's probably one of the higher paid ex-reality stars out there.
That's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that I was reading the chat. I'm sorry, I paused there. But I was going to say that I find it hard to believe that what they start with 20 castaways. You don't think that certainly Kat wouldn't tell people, but you don't think that the other people, there was at least one Big Brother fan that maybe they're not airing it. But
so,
I'm just wondering.
And all these other functions that people go to. They go to the Florida charity events, or they go out here to the L.A. stuff. They're, we're all we're all hanging out together. I mean, there, you can't tell me that nobody's, yeah, just like you said, nobody's, you know, at least somebody else from Survivor's watched Big Brother or something like that to know that Hayden won his season.
Right, and if when you guys, I get distracted by messages coming to me. I apologize. And you guys,
no,
when you go to these charity events, and you're hanging out and you introduce people, even if somebody didn't watch Big Brother, wouldn't you naturally say, you know, this is Hayden from Big Brother. He won season, you know, such and such.
Right.
I mean, it would just seem natural.
Yes, and I'm wondering whether or not, I mean, somebody can probably give their opinion, but I'm wondering because, you know, Survivor is not like Big Brother where you are seeing the live feeds, you're seeing everything. I'm wondering if, you know, a lot of these individual interviews that they have when people are talking about people behind their backs or whatever to get, you know, to get information, you know, they're showing the most interesting stuff. I'm wondering if people have been saying stuff that just not, you know, they're maybe slowly trying to build a season, trying to be sneaky about and, you know, and show, I'm sure that maybe, in my opinion, that somebody has, in this cast has had to have talked about, oh, Hayden must, you know, won Big Brother. Somebody must know about Hayden, but they're not in their conversations, in these interviews, they're not showing these interviews because it's not topic worthy yet.
Right.
That's just
We've
me.
Got somebody
that's me
else
guessing.
On the switchboard that's waiting to come up, Cowboy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We've got Mr. Michael Doyle from Survivor Whispers on air with us now. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing well, guys. How about everybody else?
Yeah, ma'am.
Good.
What's
good.
What's going, Eminem?
Since you were last on, celebrated a birthday. I think it's the first time you've been on since then. So, again, we said happy birthday on the internet to you, but belated happy birthday, Michael.
Thank you, guys.
Happy birthday, Michael. Paul, what is the Chase Rice news that you have?
Okay, so it was related to the CMA Awards were just the other night, and this is posted in the Tennessean, which I believe is probably the Nashville local paper, but country newcomer Chase Rice played college football, worked in NASCAR for Hendrick Motors, placed second on the TV show Survivor, and now is now forging a path for himself in Nashville as a singer and songwriter. And if that doesn't work out, he can get a job as a professional gambler. Rice, who was one of the writers on Florida Georgia Lines, that's the name of group, multi-platinum genre jumping chart topper Cruise, the name of the song is Cruise, predicted that Song of the Year honors will go to Lee Bryce's I Drive Your Truck. Personally, this is Chase talking. Personally, I think that I Drive Your Truck is the most powerful song of the year, in my opinion, he said. I think it's going to take it. He was right. But the Bryce hit is based on a true story and written by Jesse Alexander, Connie Harrington, and Jimmy Yeri. With the awards show behind him, Rice is looking to the future and his first country radio single as an artist, and the name of the new single is called Ready, Set, Roll. Hopefully I will have a little of the same success that the song Cruise had. If it has a little, I think we'll be okay. Rice said country fans will recognize Ready, Set, Roll immediately because it kicks off with a robot, and there's no other robots in country music, but he was part writer on a song that was for Cruise, that was a song up for Song of the Year, it sounds like. But anyway, I clicked on, I did a YouTube search and found that new single that he's kind of talking about there. And it's a really cool one. So, at any rate, he was, for those that don't know, he was a multi-time guest on the Rad Reality Show, and we played his song Buzz Back countless times on the show, and it was a favorite amongst many of our fans here, including Miss Jen Frog. Ron would play
love
it for her all
Buzz
the time.
Back.
And that's
yeah,
Buzz
Jen
Back
and I used to
song.
Dance in our chairs to Buzz Back.
Yes, and Buzz Back was a song that he debuted on the finale of Survivor. Jeff asked him to play it, remember?
Yep, I sure do. I mean, that song, that is one of the best songs. It has a great beat. And you know, do you remember when he actually dedicated the song to Ron?
Yeah.
I think in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yep. I mean, gosh, he was so nice to Ron.
Yeah, Ben, Boom Boom Ben, Ben just showed up in the chat room, and Ben went to see him. It was shortly after Ron passed, and Ben went to see him in concert and actually asked Chase, would he, you know, give a little dedication to Ron, and thank you so much for doing that, Ben. That was such a special clip that you got.
Yeah, that was very special. You know, Chase, he's been a friend of this show for quite some time, and, you know, he's gotten much bigger since then. I don't know if he'll even remember us now, but back in the day, as they say, he was a great friend to the Rad Reality Show, and I wish him all the very best. And I want to give a big shout-out and happy birthday to Ben in the chat room. Happy birthday, Boom Woo-hoo. Boom Ben. He just had a birthday, was it yesterday or the day before, 2 days ago. So I'm kind of surprised to see him. Usually he celebrates for a few days. So happy birthday, Ben. We've had a few birthdays
happy birthday,
lately.
Ben.
You know, he wrote in the chat room that he got to see, you know,
Chase.
And Georgia Line was there. And I tell you what, I love Florida Georgia Line. And I tell you what, I mean, I love country music. I mean, it's in my blood. And just to know that, you know, he's making it, writing and doing so good. I mean, some of the songs, I mean, are just on the top of the notch, you know, that we play in our nightclub. And, you know, I know that he has the backing that, you know, these other country stars are going to, you know, help him get through. And, you know, just, I mean, never know with country music. I mean, Florida Georgia Line came out of nowhere, and people just loving them. And just like Lady A, you know. And so country music, if you can, is the best industry to go, because country music sells more than a lot. And that's why we have to have like 3 award shows, because we're that good. Oh, sorry.
I got to see Lady Antebellum when they were just starting out. We went to an event that was put on by Tony La Russa that was for his animal shelter out in California. He travels the country with this big, you know, to do that. It's like a bunch of different groups, and then a comedian, and, you know, just, it was a great event. I think there was like 5 different groups and 1 comedian, and I forget what else was. It was just a great day of different events, you know, different performers. And Lady Antebellum was one of the groups that was there, and they were just starting out. It was when their first big hit was just hitting the radio. But they weren't big yet. You know, they weren't hitting that number one yet. And Now look at them. I mean, my gosh, they're huge. But
they're multimillionaires already.
Yeah. And we got to see him at a Tony La Russa event that, you know, was put on for his animal shelter out in California. And it's so cool when you get to see him at one of those events that's smaller and more intimate. Like Ben got to see Chase Rice at a little local bar. I mean, that's
wow.
When you want to see those guys, when they're, you know, still fairly, you know, just starting out, and you get to be in a more intimate setting with them, and then go back and see them when they're huge, you know. But yeah, that's fun. That's great to see people climb the charts like that, especially so fast. I know I've been following Chase Rice and Florida Georgia Line since, you know, Ron started talking to him years ago, and since Chase was on Survivor, and I followed both of them on Twitter, and it's been amazing to see how, you know, they've grown since those days, you know, since he came off Survivor and started playing, you know, this country music.
Speaking of Twitter, did any of you buy any shares today? Did you?
I saw
What do you mean? Talk to me.
Twitter just went public yesterday, or this morning, rather. They opened at $26 a share, and at closing today, it was up to $45 a share. It's kind of interesting because they have never made, Twitter's never made a profit. They lost $65 million in the last quarter. They're up to 230 million users worldwide, and they're saying, even though we've had a loss, we've got a plan to attract more advertisers, and that kind of worries me. What are we going to be hit with on Twitter now as far as advertisers, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, I knew I would at least bought like 5 shares and see what happened. I almost did Facebook, but Facebook never did anything.
Facebook is back up, though. They're back up to 47 now.
Oh,
hey,
really?
Hey, I was coughing because something went down. My coffee went down the wrong the pipe there, but also
the wrong monitor.
Because you talking about Twitter, come on, Cowboy, you're not even on Twitter.
Hey,
I'm not.
The same thing.
No, but you know,
I can't even get him on Twitter. I've tried and tried.
Hey, I would have still bought 5 shares just to see where it went.
We were tweeting. Cherry and I were tweeting, you know, for people to look out for that talk last week, to look for you in the audience, which turned out to be a near impossibility because you were only on like one split second. But at any rate, Judd jumped in. And Judd said, Judd says, we need to get Cowboy on Twitter. And I said, maybe we can get Julie Chen to convince him to do
that. That's what I was thinking too, Paul. We should all tweet Julie Chen at once. Like, we got to choose a time exact down to the minute and then get as many people to tweet her as possible and get Cowboy to get on Twitter.
Peer pressure.
And then we'll get it trending. We'll say Cowboy for Twitter or something.
I have an idea. I have a better idea. This might work. Kara's going to be at Toys for Tots. Okay? Yeah. She's on Twitter. If you guys all do that to Kara while he's up at Toys for Tots with her in New Hampshire, I bet she would be the one to be able to smile at him and get and say, Cowboy, would you please get on Twitter for me, just for me?
I highly doubt it.
I bet she would be the one that would be able to get Cowboy on Twitter. So That would be one.
It doesn't take your close friends for years and years to get you on, but a pretty lady bats her eyes. And...
yep. That's how you do it.
She'll write Twitter on her eyelashes or something. And...
But this will go in history. But Cowboy would have bought shares with her if she's on Twitter. That right there is awesome.
Cowboy, will you buy Twitter, please?
Hey, y'all go play with Charles Tweeters. Oh, my goodness. I love it. I feel the love tonight. Oh, which that's a good song. But anyways, I tell you what, let's jump on Survivor real quick. I want to say that, Paul, I know that you always have some great comments. Do you think that having Redemption Island again is a good thing, or do you wish that they get rid of Redemption Island?
Well, I think what you are referring to is at the start of the show, Jeff says the winner will be going on re-entering the game, and the other two are gone. And I thought right at the beginning, I thought, okay, Redemption Island is done for this year. And at the end of the show, he says you'll be voted. If you're voted out, you go back to Redemption Island. Are you saying on this show or any subsequent seasons of Survivor?
Well, no, I mean this season. I mean, do you think that, I mean, I don't know, sometimes Redemption Island is, we've seen two different versions of Redemption Island. You know, you see John winning week after week in Redemption Island and then losing it, which I'll be honest with you guys, I teared up for the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really sad. I knew how much passion he wanted to get in that game. And to be honest with you guys, I really think if John went back in the game, he would have had a good shot at it. And I'm not saying that Laura M. doesn't have a shot. I like John's gameplay a little bit better. And, I love how he still walked away with a positive attitude. And, you know, it's like I got to spend 2 days on Redemption Island with my wife, and you can't take that away from me.
What I was just going to say is my first thought when I knew that Redemption Island was still in play, I thought how unfair that both John and, both of them were sent packing. I mean, if they're going to continue Redemption Island, one of those people or even both of them, I feel, should have been able to stay.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. And, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like Redemption Island is a great twist. And then I go, is it really fair? You know, and it's one of them things where, I don't know, it's a hit and miss. Laura M. coming in, I really honestly don't see her going as far because, how far is it going to go? They're going to let Sierra, her daughter basically coach her through the game that she played before. I think that is so funny on so many levels that she has played the game. You would think that you'd be more controlled than what you really are, and your daughter is having to keep you in check. You know, and I have to say, I love that she said, do I really want my mother coming back into this game? Feel like it's going to hurt.
Yeah, when I was taking notes, and I would be willing to bet Cherry did this as well, I made special note of what she was saying at the beginning of the show because I thought, wow, Sierra is now there to play a game. It's not, I don't care if it's my mother. I think she could hurt my game, and I thought I made a special note of that when I took notes.
But, the thing is them two were the deciding vote of who was going to go to Redemption Island. And I thought it was really, noble because she actually listened to her daughter and listened to her
and went with her daughter instead of saying, you know what, we're going to do my way or the highway. But she didn't. She really is, it seems like she's playing her daughter's game. And which that might have been their agreement going into it, you know, and, you know, where she's trying to help her daughter. Because we know if either one of them wins $1 million, they're going to give the other one some money. We know that. You know, that's the advantage of this season, working with a loved one, because you've got two shots at $1 million.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, and everything you're saying is true, Mike. You know, my opinion is, you know, I mean, it looks like we're still not seeing 70-80% of the conversations that are happening out there too. So we're only seeing what they want to see, where, you know, and, you know, the flavor of what we're getting is just from that. But, you know, we can guess that, like, definitely, you know, the couples want to work together, but all the single people are definitely wanting to break those couples up because of that.
But you also got to look at the fact that the couples have two winners as well.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, Ben in the chat room said, I wonder if they waived the rules about sharing the money this year. What he's talking about is we actually signed an agreement that we will not give any of our money that we win to any of the other reality stars. So he's, you know, saying, I wonder if they waived it in this case, because, I mean, you know that mom's going to give money to daughter. Daughter's going to give money to mom. You know, Hayden's probably going to buy, you know, Kat some gifts. I mean, so I see where that would almost be a tough situation to argue there.
Do you guys want a little?
Buy me anything, Mike?
Do you guys want a little? Do you guys want a little bit of a spoiler?
What type of spoiler?
in a previous season, not this season.
Okay.
Remember Jane's season when she won the fan favorite? I forget the exact season. Missy AE spoiled this. It was during the final night. Jane brought up the fact that one of the contestants told her that they would later on give her money if she would, like, have a weaker kind of, like, finale night kind of thing. And what happened then was Mark Burnett went right in there, and he said, okay, everybody hold it. And they had to go back, and they had to watch all the tapes, all the videotapes, and, you know, figure out, because when you're talking to somebody, you have the camera on you. So they went back, and they played it all, and they did not see anything about that. So she was making something up. Like, that way it would mind screw the other people at that tribal, at the final tribal thing, when, you know, they asked the questions and stuff like that, and obviously they edited that out. But, you know, that has been known that, you know, it's a very tricky contract area, and, you know, it's there's certain things that CBS is on top of 100%, like to the nine. So they don't take things like that lightly.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, I mean, don't you agree that in this season there may be different rules on it?
Oh, definitely. Like, I could definitely see different rules. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, because it's such an, you know, it's a blood thing. And
right.
Yeah, I totally
agree
with you, Mike.
Because, I mean, because just hypothetically, Rupert and his wife, just say, what if he won the game? You know that his wife's going to get some of that money because they probably share the same bank account. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, there's obviously different rules for this season. I mean, almost has for them to probably be able to do that.
Yeah, and that totally makes sense, too, especially with the taxes and the different spouse level.
Wait a minute. You gotta pay taxes on your money?
Yeah, when you win. Oh, don't bring that up.
Sorry, I had to say that. sorry, guys.
Oh,
if you're a Richard Hatch
right
fan, I'm sorry. I had to say that.
You suckered me right in there, Mike. I was going to explain the whole thing.
Oh, boy, will you join Twitter?
No, not at all.
Oh, uh-oh, you're gonna annoy him before he even gets on Twitter.
That is hilarious. Well, I tell you what, it's getting interesting of how the tribe is reacting to the merge. And I know that you guys have notes and stuff, and I don't want to step on any toes, but I have to say the reaction to the merge and how the tribe is now split in three different areas. Mm-hmm. I have to say this was probably one of the first I've seen a merge being separated in three different divisions.
Yep. And the thing is, it could even get deeper too, but I don't know about you, Cherry, or Paul, or Mike, or who's the fifth?
Dennis Luciani, Average Joe.
Okay, great. I don't know what you guys think, but I think last episode was the best so far of the whole season.
Yep. So far, it's building up. I think it's going to get better. It was just good. It was on the edge of your seats, wondering, who the first person was going to go. But like you guys were already talking about, I was confused. I thought Redemption Island was done after John and Laura, Laura B. left. And then all of a sudden when Aris is like, you're told by Jeff, you'll still have a chance to re-enter the game. I'm like, what? I thought Redemption was done. Bye-bye, Aris. I thought that was gone. But I don't know. I don't know if the producers pulled a fast one and said, we don't want to get rid of Aris, so let's keep Redemption Island. I have no idea.
Conspiracy theory.
You mean Jeff Probst calling?
Why bother getting, unless they were just doing it almost like a Big Brother double eviction night, if that's what they were just planning to do, one person can re-enter the game now and the other two leave, it'll be just like a double eviction kind of ceremony to get rid of people faster, kind of shorter, I was led to believe, just like the rest of you, that Redemption Island was done after last night's episode or last week's episode, whatever.
Yeah, because couldn't they just have easily said, okay, the winner today gets to re-enter the game. They could have kept it going. I just think it seemed unfair that, I don't know.
I agree with you. I think it's unfair too. I think
that was vague. They left it vague just so let's just see who's going to get booted, and then we'll magically let Redemption Island appear again.
Yeah.
And that probably did happen like that.
But I think said that. Redemption Island, Jeff should have said that after Laura M. rejoined the whole thing. Drop your buffs. You are now one tribe. Redemption Island is no more. I think that's when that should have been said, but because it wasn't said, that's confusing.
Mike, you know what I would do as another twist? I find this would be very, very interesting.
We're not going to do Naked Survivor. Richard Hatch has already done that and won that.
Okay, no, I wasn't going to bring that up at all. No pun intended, get it? all right. You know how when you're at the jury level, right, and then they're like, at least I made jury, and then they're like, I got like a couple weeks and to relax and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not put them on an island that is like totally, totally different from the jury? Like, just like they have absolutely nothing and they have to wait it out to the end of the game. I would play a little bit more harder to stay on the island when I find out something about that, because they'll be like, I wanted all the ice cream and stuff, and you mean we're going to be voted out, and then all of a sudden we're going to be back on the island still, but not playing a game? I think that would add even a more new element to the game.
Well, the thing is, you know, it's kind of weird how, you know, Survivor going so many seasons, and they always seem to come up with something different every time. But the thing is, you know, you're a lot of past players just because obviously they have to fill slots and stuff. And mm-hmm. I am curious to see what they do. I mean, I've said this before, and I know several people has as well. I really like to see other reality stars on Survivor. I really like to see a battle. I tell you what, I saw, and this is going to bring some memories back for Paul and Cherry, and I'm not telling off on y'all's age, but I was in the hotel room in Anaheim the day before going to Disneyland, and Ben turns on the Game Network. Back in the day, you had the Battle of the Networks. And
that's on ESPN Classic, Battle of the Network Stars.
Yes.
I love it.
I was like, what is this? Dan goes, you never seen this? I said, no. And I kept on getting into it, and it was like a marathon type thing. He goes, you're really liking this, aren't you? I said, I am, because you got
Michael,
to see how they dressed and everything. And I just wish that they would do that, you know, and
do
it on Survivor.
Like they did do a Battle of the Reality TV Stars like 4 or 5 years ago. They did that because I wasn't picked. I was in the running to get picked for my show. It was like 4 or 5, you know, I don't know, I don't know, it was like 2006, 2007, around there. They did do one. I would have liked to have seen it take off somewhere, but I think the problem is now, because way back when they had on, you know, the show that you were watching, they only had the three major networks, NBC, ABC, and CBS, so they could have Battle of the Network Stars. Now,
right.
You know, look at all the different channels that have reality TV stars. You can't just do, you know, how do you make three teams, or, you know, how many teams do you have, and how do you, you know, how do you, you can't just have all one network, because you can't, I mean, there's a couple other networks that have reality TV stars on them, so how do you just make, you know, three teams, how do you, you know, combine whatever.
And that's what I'm saying, you know, you can actually do that on Survivor, you know, just do CBS, you know, Big Brother, Amazing Race, and Survivor, and put all three of them on the island. And the reason why you can do that a lot better than doing the house is the island is bigger, and you could, you know, be able to make something like that happen. And I think, to be honest with you, everyone in the chat room, everyone podcast and archive listening would agree that people would watch that. I know I would love to see who's going to finish on top. Is a Survivor person going to be able to be a Big Brother person or Amazing Race and put someone like – one thing I love about Hayden being on the island is it's taking him out of a different element and throwing him into a different element. But you have seen that he's adapted very well because – is an incredible, smart, intelligent young man, and that's why he's in the position he is. And I felt so bad when he was like, what do I do? He's crying, saying, I switch with Kat. And, you know, deep down, he didn't want to. He knew that he was in a good position. And Hayden just didn't really want to talk about it because he didn't want to put a target on his back. And that's one thing I love about it is Kat is being more open about it, and Hayden is kind of beating around the bush about things like, well, I'm in a good position over here, I feel like. And
I think that's one of the benefits or one of the things that Hayden knows is the subtleties of what to say and what not to say. That's where he is really shining, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely, and he's very likable. You know, I don't think I've heard, and unless if we're not seeing it, because they're really, I mean, guys, they're really making Hayden look good. And, I mean, it's helping the network out. But no one has said anything bad about Hayden, like he's getting on my nerves. Because if you really look at it, he's very liked. He's out of the radar. He does not. He keeps his mouth shut. He opens it when it needs to be open. He can dominate in the athletic part of it because he's a beast and he works out. He's all about nutrition, and he is very mentally, physically able to play that game. And you know, someone said he originally applied for Survivor and ended up on Big Brother.
Yeah, we have Jody Winchesky to thank for that one, right, Jerry?
Absolutely. Good choice.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? When you guys talking about this, Krista Hasty from Survivor Pearl Islands did an event on Catalina Island a couple of summers ago, and she got a whole bunch of us different, you know, from The Bachelorette, from Me, Average Joe, from Amazing Race, from, a cross-pollinization of reality TV stars. And one of the things that she had was this really hard level of a scavenger hunt that had us running all over Catalina, you know, going up ropes, going and doing all this physical stuff, doing swimming out and in a canoe, and doing all this stuff that was really cool, and to see who would step up. I was just laughing because I was on a team with Rita from Survivor, and this girl, Susie from The Bachelorette, and to see these people just go from what you think are pretty little pretty girls with their makeup and everything and turn into these most competitive people. It was just exciting and fun. It was just get out of my way. They were ready to throw. I mean, it was just fun, and you know, something like that just for all reality. I wouldn't want to just see just Big Brother, Amazing Race, or CBS. I don't know. I would love to see, like, you know, something with a bunch of us, and you know, get American Idol out there. Get, you know, get a Biggest Loser contestant out there. Get The Apprentice. Get, you know, get a Bachelor, Bachelorette. Get whatever. You know, get a whole bunch of us, and maybe an Average Joe too.
Yeah, hell yeah. What do you mean? Of course, an Average Joe. I know Cherry and I both took down a lot of notes, and maybe we won't be able to cover them all, but I was thinking maybe we could start doing a little comments. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was near the opening of last night's episode, and as good of a player, Survivor player that Tina is, I felt that she made a huge, huge error in basically letting Monica know that she was number five in the pecking order. Do you guys remember that part? I mean, I thought, my God, that was such an error, and we certainly saw it play out over the course of that episode.
Yep.
There's something, I was reading somebody's blog about that today. So, you know, as soon as you start, if you think you're feeling comfortable or you think that you're in control, that's when you really start to look behind you and see who's sharpening their knives. Tina made that big mistake of doing that, and I felt like, oh, geez, it's like another version of the Cool Kids Club, you know, giving something, you know, throwing crumbs to, you know, to Monica, like, oh, that was a bad, I had a bad taste in my mouth. I like Tina, but that was like a bad move.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She said that Monica had stuck her neck out for us more than Jervis had, you know. So she would put her in that five spot instead of the six spot, and Vetus agreed. And
there was a better way to have phrased it.
I mean, and that's telling her that she was in the six spot.
Right. There's a better way. She should have to keep Monica, or to be able to. Tina should have thought about how she was saying it. I think there was probably a better way she could have said it instead of the way she did.
Well, it's almost the same kind of error that Laura B. did by thinking, you know, it really doesn't matter. I'm going to tell Vetus that we're voting him out. You know, Monica could have probably figured it out. Okay, we've got Tina and her daughter, Katie. We've got Vetus and his brother, Eris. You know, there's four that aren't going to turn on each other. Where does Monica fit in? I mean, but she could have kept it quiet. She could have gone off on her own with Monica and said, hey, listen, Monica, you might think that these guys have it, but I want to let you. She could have lied about it to her. She could have said,
yeah,
you know, you're number three. It's me, Katie, and you. And, you know, to
yeah.
Oh, it was just like, how can you make such a stupid mistake?
I'm wondering, my question to you guys is, I'm a little puzzled, you know, that they made such a big stink about, you know, I mean, I don't think it was that bad of a move that they told Vetus. You know, I really don't think, well, I mean, just tell them, be up front, that way you don't have to be sneaky around the whole day, whatever, just to, you know, the girls should have stuck together as girls. I don't think Laura made that big of an error. But
I'm wondering if there was something we did not see in the edit that filled in that question, because that's, I didn't think it was that huge of a,
right,
you know, a faux pas.
Right. What do you think, Cherry?
I agree. I think there must be something else, because, you know, they had already just talked about it that morning, and they all agreed that was what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm. So what's the big deal about letting Vetus know?
Right. And so her just saying it out loud and making it known didn't seem like it was that big of an issue to me for them to then say, oh, my gosh, now I don't trust her. Now there's this big trust issue, you know, with her. Well, she didn't deceive anybody. That was what you guys had discussed.
No.
She didn't break any trust.
Remember, like, a couple episodes back when it was, I think it was Monica and, oh, I can't remember the two girls that were sitting there talking, and Vetus was, like, the third person there, and Monica was talking about voting Vetus out, and she kind of turns to him and says, oh, sorry about that, Vetus. I mean, it had already been done in the previous episode that they – had told him that was the week that Kat ended up going home, I think. But, yeah, there's something missing that we didn't get to see, I think.
I think so, too. I just didn't – that didn't make sense to me. And, you know, they even made it seem like that at Tribal Council, like that was why they were voting her out, you know. But
right.
It just didn't mesh with me. I don't know. It seems like there's something
– It's probably in the same vein where, you know, they love showing all these blind sides. They love the show, so they're not going to show you half the conversation
right.
had. Why did she say that? Why did you do that? Why, you know, you can't, you know. We want to get little Laura B because of, so they're not showing us all these conversations. They're only showing everything that had to do with Vetus and the girls deciding they were going to do it. Then all of a sudden, now it's like, why would she say that? Why would she do that? And we don't get to see everything in between the lines.
Dennis, I think you hit on it. I think the producers, the editors know what a big, how big blindsides are for ratings and people getting, you know, into it. And that's probably why, you know, they set it up for us that way.
There's another thing, too, that you got to look at, because of the factor of Redemption Island. When, say, if he got voted off and he went to Redemption Island, Jeff would bring it up, like, what happened? And then he would say, oh, they told me, you know, that they were confident enough to be able to vote me out and everything, and this is who's in control and stuff like that. So he would have been able to do something like that, and then all of their games would have been screwed.
Well, I've got like 6 pages of notes, so I'm certainly
not
going to read all this. But one of the things that I did want to mention tonight was finally, what is it, day 19, we see a hidden immunity idol brought out.
Jerry,
I mean,
you and I are, I can't, it's strange how connected we are, because that's exactly what I wrote down in big letters. Finally, somebody searches.
I mean, I didn't think we were ever going to see one, but Tyson, you know.
And it was so easy.
I know. He didn't even have to get any of the clues. Hayden actually gave him the clues. I think as soon as they arrived on the island, when they did the mix-up of the tribes,
they basically just gave up both of the clues they had received and spit those out. And so Tyson knew exactly where to look, and he went to the tree and he said, "This has to be, the serpent tree." And he called it the vine tree, but it's the serpent tree in the clue.
Right, and it was on the way to the waterfall.
Right, on the way to the waterfall. And I don't know how editing, plays into it, but it appeared that he wasn't digging for very long, and he pulled it right up, and he said, "I've probably stepped on this thing 20 times."
Jerry,
Not to backtrack on what Mike Ellis was saying about his boy Hayden. I love Hayden. Yes, he's a smart guy, and yes, but I think, in my opinion, him and Caleb or whatever, even in their alliance, they should have kept that information to themselves. Why would you? If you're playing a game of Survivor, you've got to. There's certain things that you shouldn't have told everybody. Like if you had this information about where, the hidden mutant idol is, you should have kept that to yourself and not given it to people that have, been in the game before. That's where I think Hayden went wrong. He made a tactical error there.
I agree. I wasn't sure who said it was so easy, but I wrote that down too. I thought it was such an easy place to find. Why didn't somebody else find it before then?
Yeah. Nobody was even looking for them.
I want to point something else out to you guys too. This is from the CAE. What they do is they spend the time finding the idol, and then sometimes they do it off camera because they're off by themselves, and then they have to tell the staff that they find the idol, and then they go back and then they do like an edit, like a edit scene of them like finding an idol somewhere, and then and then they do a whole thing, a blurb with it and stuff. So they're free to say whatever they want to say, like while they do it and stuff. But they have to go back in the general area. They have to pick up the idol and then the camera has to
be
on them.
We've learned from previous castaways that if you go walk off by yourself, you're not likely to have a cameraman follow you. If you go off with two people, they figure they got to capture conversations. So you go off by yourself and nobody would follow you and you find it, then they have to recreate that moment. Is that?
Yeah, there's two separate phases. What happens, and again, this I have to give credit where credit is due. What they do is, when they figure out you're going after the idol, like what they did with Russell Hance, they would always have a camera guy with them because he was a magnet for idols. But then what they would do is they would have the camera guy go out there with them, and then they would obviously have it filmed that way. But if I think it was Coach when he found the idol. They had the cameras with them because there was a group of people that went. And then when Tyson, I believe, he would probably have that. I know Ozzy for a fact, that was a camera shot. When he found the idol in the tree, he had to go back and recreate that. I know that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But they
Thanks
do go
that,
out
I
there.
Hope.
Eh?
No, I said, yes, it is interesting. Thanks for that information.
Yeah. Okay.
That explains why there's not any footage of anybody, going to the bathroom, because they always go by themselves to go to the bathroom.
And actually, what they would do at night is they would go off together, like the ladies would go off together, so then that forces the cameraman to bring a camera with them and to have the light with them when they walk down the path and stuff. That way they won't get lost.
I want to touch on another, and I'm doing like you were doing, Cherry, kind of scanning for highlights in my 8 pages. No, I don't know how many I have. But I wondered, why do they, on that Redemption Island duel on the pole, it's like it didn't look like any of those footholds were any different up high as they were low, and why would you threaten injury by being on the very top? I mean, I did anybody else think that you know, they should do the lower one for fear that if they slipped down, they'd hurt themselves?
I'm gonna have to log off here, guys. I'm having a sneeze attack. I don't know if you can hear me.
Sweetie, thank you so much for coming on and being with us tonight.
Yes, thank you.
I hope you feel better.
Yeah, no, it's just the allergies, that's all. It's all good.
Okay, bud.
Okay, guys,
take
thanks for having me.
Bye.
Okay, bye, Mike. Ham and M, man.
Ham and M.
All right, thanks, guys. This is an awesome show, so
all right.
I got to go.
Thank you, babe.
Okay, yeah. Bye.
Poor Michael.
Yeah, we all can relate to trying to hold back a sneeze. It's not easy to do.
No. Not at all.
But I just kept, and the other part of that duel was, you know, you've got to be able to block out Jeff, but when Jeff starts saying, and he's slipping and she's slipping, and,
I know,
you
right?
know, it's like, shut. I would have been up there and saying, Jeff, keep your mouth shut, you know?
Hey, can I ask you guys your opinion, though, on...
No, you may
you
not.
Know, they obviously know the people that are left in the duel. They obviously know that there's people good at puzzles, there's people good at gifts, there's people... do you think that last challenge was geared towards somebody other than John?
Oh, I think it was relatively fair. I think that he, when I first saw the previews of next week and I saw that that's what it was, my first thought was John's going to win this. But when
I didn't think so, for hanging onto a pole, sometimes the lighter person, whoever's lighter, can
right.
get their, you know, especially
right.
smaller girls
I was,
stick their toes
I was,
in.
I was thinking either John or Monica, wait a minute.
Laura
were likely to win. I thought that the Laura B was probably at the most disadvantage, but as soon as John kicked his shoes off, I thought, oh no.
Yeah, he's got too big of a feet for that thing. I really thought he was screwed at that challenge.
Hey, you know what you say if someone's got big feet, right?
Yes.
they got big feet.
They got big personalities?
Oh, boy. Yeah, big personality. Okay, Paul, Terry, keep going with your notes because we got a few minutes left.
Well, I'm just going to, I guess, skip to the very end and mention next week's preview. And it looks like it's really going to get good. We've already talked about who won and basically did pretty much the entire show. But when they showed next week's previews and Jeff said the game gets ugly, OMG.
Yeah.
I was like, it is getting ugly. They showed Tina saying, bravo, bravo. You've got five jury votes that you'll never get.
Yeah.
And then Vita's saying, vengeance is going to be mine at some point. And then Jeff saying, just when you thought it couldn't get any nastier, it's a food-eating challenge. And they show them eating...
Oh.
Something that is making them all just completely wig out, like, in the worst way.
I got hungry watching that.
I bet you did, Dennis.
You know, Terry, you know, speaking of a food contest, in my season of Big Brother, we actually had a food eating contest where we had to we created our favorite meal that we would want to eat. And because they let, you know, pick from a few items in the diary room. And then we had to blend up our favorite foods.
And you know, it was weird because I was like, I have to do this. I have to do this. And which I did do my challenge, but it is so hard because it's a mental game, and you have to psych stuff out. You got to just, you know, be your own cheerleader saying, I can do this, I can do this. But when they do some of them challenges, you know, you're dealing with some odd creatures and all that. So I'm really looking forward to this next week and seeing how well and seeing who we're going to give the biggest baby award to, because you know somebody's going to be like, you know, and I can't wait. I'm going to probably laugh the whole freaking time. And I know it's going to be entertaining.
I'm not going to be able to sit still. It's going to, you know, I'm going to have the heebie-jeebies throughout the whole episode. But if they do anything, they better hopefully have watched, like, when John Cochran won his season. You know, he basically didn't chew anything when he won that first immunity challenge. I think that was the first one that he won or something. I think that was. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, he basically just threw it down his throat and swallowed.
Yeah, he just threw everything down without chewing. It's that you just can't chew, because as soon as you start chew, you start tasting.
And that's a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, real quick before we lose time, you know, we always give our, you know, people that comes to the show for the first time, I want to say, Cheryl, you know, it's awesome that she is in the chat room listening. She is a good friend of Dennis and mine from Vegas, and so thank you so much for being a part of this show. We hope that you will come back and be a part of it, and, you know, we love our first-time visitors, and we love our podcast listeners and archive listeners and everyone in the chat room. Okay, Paul, it's
this
all
is
yours.
What we do for our first-time listeners. There you go, Cheryl.
I know we're running out of time, but this can be real quick. I want to know where this new tribe name came from, because nobody ever talked about it. They walked back to the tribe, and on the flag it says Kasama, K-A-S-A-M-A, and why aren't – I wish they told us where that name came from. Anyway.
I agree. They didn't tell us anything about who came up with the name, what it meant, or anything, and that's unusual. Usually they tell us
they usually
more about
do that,
that
in previous seasons.
Right.
Well, someone probably thought of it while they were on the pot at the outhouse. They were having diarrhea. It probably means diarrhea.
Yeah, you know, we may have hit on something there. Maybe they didn't tell us because it was not an arable reason, or, you know, maybe it was R-rated or something. Who knows?
Yeah, or it just wasn't interesting enough.
All right,
absolutely.
Dennis, thank you so much.
Right.
We have a clip
that
Paul brought up that I need to play real quick before we close out the show. And 'tis the season for this clip to be played, so I'm going to play it real quick. It's just a minute long before we close out. I'm going to play this one for everybody that's going up to New Hampshire.
What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break. We're going to hear from our friendly rodents about a thing that's happening at the beginning of next month. Here we go.
Pack your bags, house friends, we're going to New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
Each holiday state motto is live free or die. The total badass is there.
Relax, squirrel. It's for the Big Brother Fan Club's annual Toys for Tots charity event.
I'm sorry, HR, but you don't exactly strike me as the charitable type.
Anyway, you'll like it, New Hampshire, squirrel. There's plenty of nuts there.
Ooh, I wonder what nuts from New Hampshire taste like.
Jordan, I think he was referring to Big Brother fans. Maybe I should just leave you two at home.
No, HR, I wouldn't miss the opportunity to see you making a spectacle of yourself.
Fine. Join us, the Big Brother House Rodents, for the Big Brother Fan Club's annual Toys for Tots charity event in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. You'll be helping out a great cause while meeting some of your favorite house guests.
And you'll also get to see a grown rat drooling on himself.
You know, Squirrel, you look better with a chalk outline.
J. Terry, thank you so much for playing that real quick. If you have $10, $15, $20 that you are able to donate on my Facebook page, there's a link to hit on, and all that money goes to helping the Toys for Tots, and I promise you it all goes to helping that event. I promise it does not go into my addiction of drugs and alcohol that on the side. But
are you the mayor of Toronto, cowboy?
Absolutely. But I really love to have y'all's help, and please, the listeners, go to my Facebook page. It takes 2 seconds, and I will refresh that and put that on top of my Facebook wall. Please help out. It's a good cause, a great event. This is my 5th year, and I'm really looking forward to this season. We've got some great people. And
right.
Keep calling, Cherry. Y'all are amazing.
I'm real quick here, but people do want to know who's confirmed. So can you do that on your Facebook wall? We don't have time to do it on air.
Absolutely. I'm trying to get all
Thanks.
That together. But just real quick, Gin City Sand will be playing this year at Toys for Tots. I just let it out. It was confirmed yesterday, so I'm looking forward to that. So thank you, Gin City and her band, and the band is coming with her. So we've got great entertainment for the Friday night.
Daniel, I'm sorry we didn't bring you up earlier. You've been on the switchboard. I'm so sorry we didn't bring you up earlier. Say hi to Cowboy and Dennis, and we're getting ready to close the show, but I wanted to say hi to you real quick on air. Thank
That's
you for being with us
just
tonight.
Just wanted to say hi to everybody and just wanted to talk some Survivor. I understand, though. No biggie.
I'm sorry, sweetie. We had so many people on air with us tonight.
Shady, call back at the beginning of next week's show, and we will make it happen. But we do apologize sometimes, putting 2 weeks into one and so much to talk about, especially when we have guests. It's sometimes hard to get to everybody. But call in next week, and we'll make it happen, buddy.
No problemo.
All right. Thank you, Dennis, so much for being with us. Thank you to Paul, to Daniel. And Dennis, it's always awesome to have you with us, babe.
I know. I just wanted to say I love you guys, too. And Cowboy, could you please join Twitter?
No, not at all.
That's Dennis.
Hey, but I'm going to go buy one stock, though, here in a second.
All right. Well, thank you
later.
All for being
Bye.
With
Thanks,
us.
Dennis.
I want to remind everybody to be with us again on Sunday night for our Amazing Race Second Pit Stop show, and again on Monday for our Manic Monday show with Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10, and then back here again for our Survivor Blood versus Water Survivor show. And I've got to close this one out quickly because we're running out of time. So here's Ron to close the show. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend. Take care. God bless. Here's Ron.
Tonight was a great show, and thank you guys for coming. And I'm going to quit off the show with a song and something that is truly, I say thank you to y'all. Song ain't working. Say thank you for coming to the show. You are so great, and I love you all. We thank you. We thank you for coming to the show. And we... Okay, fuck. I couldn't get this.
Okay, I've got to close it out, folks. Take care, everybody. God bless. We're running out of time. It was a great show. Hope to see you on Sunday night. Be kind to each other. That's a wrap. Good night, Paul. Good night, Cowboy. Good night, everyone. Bye.